With that, we want to finish up Ahab, and we have handouts, new handouts today as we go into Kings 9, 10, and 11. And so if you did not get a handout for the upcoming lesson, we'll finish Ahab briefly and then get into Kings 9, 10, and 11. Raise your hand if you did not get the latest handout this morning. We'll make sure that you get a handout so that you can follow along. But we do want to finish Ahab. We ended last time in discussing Ahab and kings of the Old Testament, specifically the kings of Israel. Ahab, we ended with his admission once he found out that his house was going to be judged. And then we see that God saw humility in his heart, and we're in 1 Kings 21. 1 Kings 21 and verse number 27. 1 Kings 21, verse number 27. And it says, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. One writer wrote this, it is difficult to determine what is more amazing here, that the wicked King Ahab would ever repent or that God would relent of his judgment because of it. And of course we know God's a merciful God, but you understand Ahab was the worst of the worst, defined in Scripture as in the kings of Israel, Ahab was the worst king. And yet, Ahab shows genuine humility because God sees it in these verses. And he's going to bring judgment, but he says it won't happen in the days of Ahab. It'll happen in the days of his sons' lives. And it brought back to me this truth, that no matter what anybody does to you in this life, where there's humility, there ought to be forgiveness. I mean, Ahab led Israel in Baal worship. I mean, you talk about slapping God in the face. Ahab would have been one of those men that repeatedly that happened. And God still saw a humble heart and showed mercy to Ahab, at least in his days, because of his humble heart. And I would say this, that there is never an excuse not to forgive somebody that shows humility. And we see that here. It also reminds me that no prodigal is ever beyond the reach of God's mercy if he is willing to humble himself. Now, I got to tell you, in the normal human mind, Ahab repents. And I'd be like, yeah. There's a side of me that'd be like, let's wait and see. Right? Now, I can't see the heart like God can see the heart. God can see the heart. And God saw the heart. And so, very interesting on how Ahab's, how the lesson ends up there. Some spiritual lessons on Ahab. And I believe that these would be in your notes, in your last handout. And I want to make sure that we review them, because this is really the crux of every lesson, is the spiritual lessons. Good companions don't make evil companions. I'm on page number 5 on your lesson on Ahab. Good companions don't make evil companions good. Instead, an unequal yoke results in both husband and wife straying from God. Very, very few cases, end up where a husband marries a weaker wife or a wife marries a weaker husband and they bring them along in Christ. It almost always goes the other way. Here, Ahab, the Israelite, married Jezebel, the Baalite. And the Bible says Jezebel stirred him up. And Jezebel led him. And Jezebel led him away from the Lord. And be reminded that, parents, you're not going to put your child in a setting with a whole bunch of wicked people and they're going to turn them all to God. It's why, by the way, I would not put a child in the public school today. Just wouldn't do it. Way too, years ago, there were Christians, there was morality, there was character. There's not much of that around. You have transgenderism, you got bathrooms mixed, you got gay agenda and pride being pushed, and it's very, very secular. And because it's so secular, don't think that you're going to put a child in that 8 hours a day and it's not going to affect them. Evil communications corrupt good manners, Scripture says. Ahab's an example of that. Number two, selfishness causes you to sell your soul to the enemy and lose what is dear to you. Ahab was the selfish king, and he sold his soul. We know that. That terminology is used about Ahab. His selfishness caused him to sell his soul and lose that which was dear. Remember his league with the enemy? And he said, have my children, have my wives. You know, as long as I'm at peace with the enemy, as long as it's not affecting me. Selfishness. Selfishness. Number three, though Ahab was wicked, God still showed his power on Ahab's behalf that Ahab would know that he is God. Two times God came to his aid. Two times God said, I'm going to deliver this enemy that's much larger than yours, much more powerful than yours. So Ahab, so you will know that I am the Lord. He was still interested in showing wicked Ahab that he was the Lord. I think that's powerful. I think that's powerful about God. God's interested in reaching every person, no matter where they're from, no matter what they've been in. And we find that in the life of Ahab. Number four, when I am blaming someone else for the problems in my life, may it be a reminder of my selfishness in refusing to take personal responsibility. Elijah, it's your fault. You brought this famine upon us. Elijah turned those tables real quick. Said, oh no, Ahab. That's on your shoulders. But he was into blaming. He didn't want to take any personal responsibility for anything. No matter how wicked you are, God responds to humility with mercy. Just dealt with that. Heavy hearts are the result of disobedience and judgment. It's interesting to me in Ahab's life that it wasn't disobedience alone that caused the heavy heart. How true that is in our lives. But once Ahab heard the judgment, the Bible says his heart was heavy. Huh. There's a lesson for us to understand. The sin nature of man is not always a tender response when we disobey. Often, God has to bring about chastisement or judgment. And when that happens, ooh, all of a sudden, we're heavy. That was Ahab. We learned something from Ahab there. Remember this. A person who has rejected righteousness hates those who are righteous. Here's somebody that gets reproved by somebody that is trying to help somebody stay on a path of righteousness. And they don't want the path of righteousness. Guess what? They're not going to like the reprover. Ahab used the phrase enemy with Elijah. Jehoshaphat, you know, hey, go inquire. Go talk to a good king. Go talk to a prophet. Mine enemy, Elijah, who only seeks to do me evil? Hey, go talk to Micaiah. Micaiah, the one that hates me. See how his heart is turned? Against those that are righteous, because Ahab rejected righteousness. It's no wonder to me that people get online today and bash churches that are trying to stay on a straight and narrow way and accuse them of being a cult. And no wonder, no surprise, no surprise. That's an Ahab spirit. That's what Ahabs do, okay? Because they don't want righteousness. So anybody that is that light, that reproves that. Guess what? They hate that. They despise it. They're going to talk about it. It's okay. okay? It's par for the course throughout Bible history. That's what happens. Remember this, no matter where you have been, true repentance brings God's mercy. True, genuine repentance brings God's mercy. Remember this, God graciously makes his will known in ways we can understand by placing people around us to point us back to him. God graciously works with us by putting people around us that point us back to him. Man, I've had that throughout all my life. And that is a blessing of God. Boy, if God begins to take those people out of your life, that's a judgment of God. The mercy of God, the blessing of God is that God puts people in our lives. God puts messages in our lives from the pulpit. God puts friends, God puts parents, God puts godly influences in our lives to point us back to God, keep pointing us back to God. That's what Elijah did. That's what God used Elijah for in Ahab's life. That's what Micaiah did. God used these men to point Ahab back to the Lord. Remember this, a selfish person not only listens to those who tell him what he wants to hear, but surrounds himself with those kind of people. Ahab listened to Jezebel's counsel regarding Naboth's vineyard. He listened to the 400 false prophets regarding going to war in Ramoth Gilead, which, by the way, is where he lost his life. He surrounded himself with people that would give him the answers that he would want to hear. That's what selfish people do. And he did it, and it's a very bad quality. If somebody tells you something that you don't want to hear, that person's probably your friend. Ahab didn't have too many of those. One of God's greatest ways to demonstrate his wrath toward a hardened heart is to let the hardened heart have its way. And he let Ahab have his way. And remember this, no man can protect himself from God's judgment. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to Hermitville. I can't get hurt by anybody. I can't get in a car accident. I'm just going to live where nobody lives. You know what? God's still there. And Ahab, a random arrow took down Ahab in the only place his armor would allow a fatal wound. A random arrow hits the one spot on his body that would allow a fatal wound. Who had all that happen? God. God. Nobody escapes God's judgment. Some lessons from Ahab. We move on to the next three kings, kings number 9, 10, and 11 on the side of Israel. And we're in 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter number 22, as we discuss Ahaziah, Jehoram, and Jehu. And so this study, now getting to these kings, takes us out of 1 Kings and leads us into the book of 2 Kings. And so we transition in the book of 2 Kings. 1 Kings emphasizes the facts of these kings. The earthly thrones continually and consistently failed, but the heavenly throne consistently prevailed. 2 Kings emphasizes the consequences that result from the kings. And I would summarize the message of 2 Kings as follows. Though people fail God, God will not fail people. By the way, this thought that we find in the kings is foundational to our doctrine of eternal security. As a believer, have you ever failed God? You ever sinned? You ever fallen short of the mark? Absolutely. Does that change your eternal destination as a believer? Oh, no, because even though we fail God, God doesn't fail man. And my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. And neither shall any man perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my father, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Eternal security is a doctrine of the Scriptures. And it's not only fleshed out clearly in John 10, but other passages of the New Testament. But we see that same truth fleshed out in the books of the Kings. And so we're looking at Kings 9, 10, and 11. If you go back to the handout, back of the handout, I've given you a hand. I've added a handout. Very interesting handout. Just in talking about dynasties during the king. So a dynasty is where there's multiple kings in the same family line, right? And so when we look at Judah, the southern kingdom, if you look on page 6 of the handout today, you'll see Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah and Jehoash and Amaziah and Azariah, aka Uzziah, and it goes on. And that whole line, Judah's line, is all from the line of David, all the way down through. And Jesus would come as a lion out of the tribe of Judah. And from the seed of David, right? So all of Judah coming down, except that one yellow. You see that one yellow, Athaliah? She bounces over under Omri's dynasty. Okay? Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah. But Athaliah was Jezebel's daughter, and she married Jehoram, and that was a mess. And so she bounces over there. And when Jehu comes in to rule, Jahab knocks out all of Ahab's family, destroys them, watch this, including Athaliah. And so by the time we get down to Jehu in the red, a new dynasty has begun. And Omri's dynasty, Ahab, that track is over when we get done with Jehu in this lesson. And so very, very interesting, and thought that would be helpful for you to see that. We want to look at Ahaziah, a bad king that reigned. And we're on page number 1. That's your first blank. Ahaziah reigned from 853 to 852 BC, just 2 years. And we read about him in 1 Kings 22, verses 51 through 53. The Bible says here, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. There's some major Bible passages that you can read here about Ahaziah. The contemporary king of Judah during this time was Jehoshaphat. The contemporary prophets were Elijah and Elisha, or they're transitioning during this king's reign. Elijah's moving off the scene. Elisha's coming on the scene. The parents of Ahaziah are Ahab and Jezebel. What parents? His predecessor is Ahab. His successor is Jehoram. And the meaning of Ahaziah is God sustainer. Now that is interesting to me, because names have a lot of meaning. We know that in the Old Testament. And so if Ahab and Jezebel were paying attention to the name of their children or the names of their children, which maybe they were not, but if they were two people that worshiped Baal, why would they name Ahaziah God's sustainer? The only thing that I could come to, and I wrote in your notes, is that maybe it was during the short time of repentance that Ahab demonstrated after God's judgment was pronounced upon him that they had Ahaziah. I don't know. Or maybe they just totally disregarded the meaning of names. But I did write this down. A good name does not ensure good character. My My name means Christ follower, Chris. But just because I have Chris as my name does not mean that I'm going to portray Christ or live a life of character that exalts Christ. You can have a good name and have a bad character. By the way, the Bible says about a good name, it is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches. Not just riches, but great riches. If somebody had a couple hundred thousand dollars, that would be, you know, they're sitting on a couple hundred thousand dollars cash. Well, they're doing pretty good. You know, we might consider them rich. Somebody has a couple million, they're really rich. Somebody has 50 million, no doubt, great riches. A good name's better than all that, according to the scriptures. Ahab didn't have a good name. Ahaziah didn't have a good name. A number of events in his life, there's the revolt of Moab, and there's a Proverbs that's associated with these kings, and the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Boy, Ahaziah only had 2 years as king. During his reign, Israel lost some of the control of the region of Moab. You can read about that in 2 Kings 1 and 2 Kings chapter 3. And so that was a major thing in Ahaziah's life during this two-year reign. The second thing that was a major event in Ahaziah's life was his consultation with Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, regarding recovering from the disease. So remember, Ahaziah is that king that fell through the lattice, right? That Old Testament king that fell, got a disease because of it, sent messengers, watch this, not to consult the prophet of God, but to consult the gods of the Philistines of Ekron. By the way, God doesn't miss a thing. And God caught all that. The messengers are on their way. Oh, Elijah intervenes and says, is there not a God of Israel in Israel that you could inquire about? Ahaziah was looking to go to the gods of Ekron. Huh. What do we learn? The passing down of Ahab and Jezebel's ways. He sought ungodly counsel. And Warren kind of brought some of this out in his Sunday school opener. Remember, Ahab, back in 1 Kings 22, was not wanting to seek godly counsel. Jehoshaphat kind of leads him in that direction. He was interested in seeking counsel of people that would tell him what he wants to hear. And now, Ahaziah, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm sick. Can you go to the gods of Ekron and see if I'm going to stay alive or not? Same pattern. Same decision. Same path. And so he followed, sought ungodly counsel. Then God intervened. God did this in Ahab's life, and God did this in Ahaziah's life. In both cases, let me put the prophet into your life whether you want him or not. Here comes the prophet. And then they both persecuted God's men. And so Ahab, we know that Obadiah was hiding prophets from Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel slew some of God's prophets. We know that Ahab in 2 Kings, we know Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 1, they sent men unto Elijah. Boy, they weren't pleased. They were trying to get Elijah to come down to the king. The king didn't have good intentions for Elijah. Instead, 50 men after 50 men were slain, wicked men. But in both Ahab and Ahaziah's life, Ahab's throwing Micaiah into prison, right? Jezebel's after Elijah. wants to take Elijah's life. So is it no wonder that their son, Ahaziah, has a mindset of enmity against God's people, against God's men? Same road. Reminder to us that our children pick up. They pick up hopefully some good things. But you know what they also pick up? They pick up our character flaws. They pick up things that we get involved in. One of the passages in the New Testament in Jude, I think it talks about false teachers. And it says of them having eyes full of adultery, the next phrase, cursed children. Cursed children. Constant reminder to all the men in this church, keep your eyes pure. Why? Because you don't want to have cursed children. Hey, be honest in your life. Do you want to develop a liar? You want your child to have problems with lying? Hey, we learned something from Ahab and Ahaziah here. And that is this, our kids pick up and the apples don't fall far from the trees. And we learned that from Ahaziah. Second King, 10th King here that we'll discuss. We'll almost have to close up the Sunday school hour, but is Jehoram. And so in 2 Kings chapter 1, so he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, speaking of Ahaziah. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Oh, we got two Jehorams reigning at the same time. If you go back to your chart, here's Jehoram over in Judah. Here's Jehoram now in Israel. They're both reigning, two different men at the same time. When we come back next week, we will look at Jehoram, the 10th king of Israel. Remember, all the kings of Israel are bad. Are bad.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.